Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the New World Report with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto, I start with the migration story, and there's a constant reporting from the Mexican border with the United States, such as the dramatic increase in migrants crossing the U.S. border from Mexico has pushed the city of El Paso, Texas, to a breaking point, goes one story. Another story says that the president of Costa Rica is visiting Panama. He's most upset by the migration crisis because the migrants coming through the Darien Gap into Panama then cross Costa Rica, but some or parts of them do not leave Costa Rica, a very peaceful part of Central America. I ask your experience in the foreign ministry and the way you follow the story now. Is the migration numbers that we're, are the migration numbers we're seeing now at the Darien Gap at the Mexican border or in the Mediterranean basin, was this true when you were in the foreign ministry, or is this a phenomenon since the pandemic? How do you read it, Ernesto?
Well, John, absolutely. The numbers have increased a lot, but we saw that coming. We saw that coming. So much so that one of the first acts when President Bolsonaro was inaugurated a few days later in the foreign policy department was for us to withdraw Brazil from the worldwide or global pact on migration because we saw that this would create multilateral pressure to regulate migration in the way that the globalist schemes want us to regulate, which is not to, which is basically to open borders. And although Brazil is not a destination for that many migrants as Europe or the U.S., obviously, but it has become, we have had problems with migration from Venezuela, from other countries. Not that we are against the migrants. People have to make that distinction. Migrants is one thing, but migration, the way it's being weaponized against regimes, against governments, against democracies around the world, that's a huge problem. And we see multilateral institutions working together with that scheme of disruption of countries that comes through migration. So absolutely, we saw that coming, and we're not that surprised. I mean, I'm not that surprised that it's like that now. We see in Italy this crazy amount of people getting to Lampedusa. Many people are commenting, and that was commented down in Madrid, that this is an operation to destabilize the right-wing conservative government of Giorgia Meloni in Italy. Right. So, what's happening in the U.S. is basically, not having a sovereignty over your country anymore. What's the plan behind this, right? What's driving those people? It's not climate. It's not poverty. Those have not gone upwards lately. I mean, there's no climate crisis that can justify that. There's no poverty that can justify that amount of increase in migration. So we have to dig deeper into the politics of that, the international politics of migration. That's what we tried to do when I was a foreign minister. Now people just go along with the multilateral dogmas, which is, oh, migration is always good, and being against migration is racist and xenophobic. So what's going on? They are, I mean, the not the migrants, but migration is destroying democratic nations. Look, that migration never goes into totalitarian countries. Where's the migration crisis into China? Where's the migration crisis into Russia or into Iran? Of course, it never happens. So migration increases the relative power of totalitarian regimes and the totalitarian bloc in the world.
Joseph, I ask you to measure. Ernesto raises an important observation about this worldwide phenomenon. You can make the case that at some point people are going to worry about climate change, but not now, not to take the risks of the Darien Gap or to enter into the United States not knowing your future because you don't have a green card, because you don't have access, because you're looking for work where you can't easily find it, such as New York City. New York City is said to have 60,000 migrants living in shelters with uncertain futures. So is there any observation you can find in your contacts in South America or Central America that the that this suits left-of-center governments to empty their populations, Venezuela being the most notable example? We're told 7 million people have left, but people are also leaving Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. They're even leaving Brazil. Is there some scheme here, or does it just suit the left to allow this to happen and not raise a finger?
John, there's absolutely a scheme. There's a marked difference between migration for regular reasons, such as you alluded to, for socioeconomic reasons, for insecurity, even for natural disasters, and what we're seeing now, which is weaponized migration, or as the technical term would be strategic engineered migration, which is happening because state and non-state actors have decided to push migration as a form of asymmetric warfare. In the case of the U.S. southern border, we're seeing numbers that we've never seen, probably never imagined that we would see. Last fiscal year, was 2.7 million encounters on the U.S. southern border. That's the largest raid on record. And then this fiscal year, which is supposed to end this month, is expected to surpass that. It may even surpass 3 million encounters and apprehensions on the U.S. southern border. And that's not all the people that have crossed the border. Those are just the ones that we know about, that we attended to. It doesn't count the gotaways. It doesn't count those that are clandestine. So the number is definitely going to be over 3 million if you count all that. And that's transforming fundamentally, not just our border, but our country. You mentioned New York. This is also happening in Washington. It's happening in Illinois. It's happening all over the country. Back to the weaponized migration. So this is fundamentally driven by Venezuela. We do not hit over 2 million encounters on our U.S. southern border without the Venezuelan mass migration, which you correctly stated, John, is upwards of 7.7 million Venezuelans that have left since 2014. That's the largest migration in the world, more than Ukraine, more than Syria. We don't hit the numbers that we hit on the U.S. southern border until that migration starts pushing north. They initially were pushing throughout South America. And so Colombia got overwhelmed. Peru got overwhelmed. Chile, Brazil got some of that. But until they started pushing north, and that didn't start happening until 2021, we don't see the numbers that we're seeing today. And the reason that the Venezuelan mass migration is pushing up north now is because of two things. Because of the funding that the Maduro regime has given to NGOs and transnational criminal organizations to start to open up the Darien Gap. We're starting to see numbers unprecedented passing through the Darien Gap. And because of the Venezuelan state-owned airline, Conviasa, shuttling migrants to Mexico. So the air bridge and the land bridge that the Venezuelan government has facilitated to push not just Venezuelan migrants, but other migrants that come into Colombia, Ecuador, and others from South America push north is the driver of this migration. So we have to start thinking about this radically different. We can't think about this like root causes or ebbs and flows, push and pull factors. We got to start thinking about Venezuela using migration as a weapon of warfare. Why does it benefit them? It weakens their enemy. And as you said, it strengthens their country because they're basically pushing out not just opposition, but they're pushing out the ability of the people in their country, the less people that they have to govern and manage.
Ernesto, Lula da Silva, does he speak of these matters? Does Brazil worry about the migration flowing from Venezuela?
Oh, no. Lula follows the politically correct line that migration is always good and any opposition to migration is racist or radical or whatever. So, and of course, he totally sympathizes with this strategy that Joseph was describing of Venezuela being a weapon to destabilize the United States. Lula is part of the neo-totalitarian bloc led by China with Iran and Russia. So he totally would condone everything that's happening in terms of migration. I think we may also ask ourselves whether Russia is behind this push from Venezuela into the U.S., because also you see that illegal migration started to increase even more after the beginning of the Ukrainian war. So maybe this is part of the game. That's a weapon that Russia has to send Venezuelans into the U.S. and disrupt politics, disrupt the southern states, disrupt New York, disrupt the public discussion around many issues. This is obviously serving Putin's strategy.
Checking in on Brazil. Brazil's a beautiful and large and sophisticated country to read about. I've never been there. But in any event, I think of it as a success in the world of economics and certainly a power, a regional power, if not soon to be a world power. Do people emigrate without documentation from Brazil? Is that commonplace, Ernesto?
All the time. People, and that increased as well over the last, since the pandemic, basically, but especially since the beginning of the Biden administration, when it, for some reason, it really started to get easier to be an illegal migrant into the U.S. We see that we have some indications that illegal migrants from Brazil are increasing in numbers in the U.S. So it also tells a different story from this more mainstream press story that Brazil is doing well in the economy. It's not. It's been stagnated. It was already Bolsonaro government tried to kickstart or restart the economy through deregulation reforms and other reforms. But now we're back to the old style state-controlled economy, which means stagnation. Brazil's GDP is the same proportion of world GDP as it was in the year 2000. Look at India, for example. It has multiplied by 3 or 4 its participation in world GDP. So Brazil is not a success story in the economy. And even less now, the economy is decadent in the sense, not the good sense that you use that word in English, but the economy is in decay. The economy is losing jobs, is losing investment. Every day we see news of retail chains closing doors, of manufacturing closing doors. And people are becoming more and more dependent on the state. So that's not a bug. That's part of the design of the program. They want to, the system that rules Brazil wants to kill private initiative. They want to make people more and more dependent on the state. I think that's what's really happening.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. We're headed to a border dispute between Guyana and Venezuela. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.